Okay, I hope you found the book of Proverbs, and as we know, the book of Proverbs is full of many, many bits of wisdom. And as we studied last week, we studied the introduction of the book, which is verses 1 through 7 of the first chapter. And remember our key verse, Proverbs 1, 7. Good job. Let's say it together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Good. Did you think about that at all this week? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that being what commentators commonly call the motto of Proverbs, I wanted to understand exactly what this fear of the Lord really is. And I believe we will benefit tonight from our study. So we will be flipping around through the book of Proverbs. So I hope your fingers are ready, because I want us to identify and look at some of these truths that we will find. As we do this, I want us to understand three things about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, I have found, is a platform upon which we can rightly view things in life. In other words, it gives us a platform upon which we can stand and we can look at the things in life and we can view them correctly. All right? That's one way to look at it. Another way we could look at it is as a posture. It's a posture that causes us to rightly relate to God. The posture of that of fear, of honor, of reverence to God. It's that posture. And then thirdly, what we can understand is that it's a power. And it's a power that causes us to obey and respect God. So what we're going to see tonight is we're going to see different aspects of those different things. But I hope those three things, the platform, the posture, and the power, will help us, when we think of the fear of God, will help us to really understand what that is. Now, before we go too far, I want to define some things. The fear of the Lord is found in the book of Proverbs many times. It's used very frequently with wisdom and with knowledge and used in those same contexts. We need to really understand this concept, I believe, to really give us a better understanding of the book of Proverbs. Especially since, in the introduction, the fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of knowledge. And really, Proverbs is all about transferring knowledge and understanding and wisdom to those of us that fear the Lord. So there has to be some connection here. And I wrestled with this week as I thought about, what's this connection, the fear of the Lord and the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge of God? And what I believe we'll see tonight is, like I've said, the fear of the Lord gives us that platform that we can really understand and view the things in life. We can stand there upon the fear of the Lord, the reverential awe and respect of Jehovah God, and that in turn will give us a way to see life. And in the same way, the posture. That posture, see, this very idea of the fear of the Lord gives us a mental picture. It gives us the mental picture of bowing. That's why I bowed. Because when you fear something and when you are respecting something or someone or showing reverence towards them, you are, in other words, putting them up above yourself as someone great and deserving of respect. And this very posture, as we look and view God, enables us to once again see the things in life from God's perspective, the way God sees them, and it helps us to relate to God. And then that power. We've seen time and time again how the works of God, especially throughout the Old Testament, struck fear into people. Now, there are many times throughout the books of Kings and Samuel 1 and 2 Samuel, where the fear of the Lord fell upon the nations. Why? Because they witnessed, they saw God taking care of his nation. They saw God taking care of his people. And in that we see there's incredible power in the fear of the Lord. Because what you are doing is you are showing respect and honor to the great and awesome God. And there is power in that. So much power that it struck fear, literal terror into the eyes and hearts of enemy nations. So we see the fear of the Lord first introduced to us in chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and destruction. This same concept is used several times, but here it's the beginning of knowledge. The beginning is that idea of it's the foundation. It is the first and chief thing. It does not necessarily mean that the fear of the Lord is just the first step in knowledge. No, it is the most important and foundational thing in knowledge. In other words, you don't do away with the fear of the Lord once you attain knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. Okay, that's the way to understand this word of beginning. All right? Now, as we move along here, we're going to look at several passages that use this idea of fearing the Lord. Next, let's go to chapter 1, verse 29. And here what we're going to see is, and I want to start a little bit of above this, let's start in verse 26. This is wisdom speaking. I also will laugh at your calamity. Now notice I said wisdom speaking. I do want to explain something. Throughout the book of Proverbs, it's poetic. And so you are going to have inanimate objects and ideas and different virtues speaking. And here you have wisdom. And wisdom is speaking here in verse 26 and says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear comes, this is verse 27, when your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Now here you see the idea of the fear of the Lord in conjunction with knowledge once again. But here wisdom is speaking, and wisdom is making a clear declaration that these people, they chose to hate knowledge, and therefore they did not choose to fear the Lord. So there is another link. The fear of the Lord and knowledge is very sharply linked, and it continues that they would none of my counsel and they despised all my reproof. So here's the idea. We choose not to fear the Lord, and the results are what? Hating knowledge, not listening to wisdom's counsel, and despising the reproof of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is very important to this idea of living a life that has knowledge and wisdom. It's crucial. Now let's think about this. The fear of the Lord, that reverential awe and respect for Jehovah God. And when this is used in the book of Proverbs, it's speaking of Jehovah, the self-existent one, the covenant God of his people. The way God introduced himself to the Israelites there in Egypt when they were in bondage. He introduced himself as I am that I am. The self-existent one. I am here because I am here. I exist because I exist. And so the fear, the respect, the honor, the awe of this God is important for us to understand and have knowledge and wisdom. And it is crucial for us to apply wisdom's counsel and to apply wisdom's instruction. So the fear of the Lord in your life and my life is this idea, and as we go through our study, it will become more and more clear, but from what we know so far, we will know that we are fearing the Lord when we are attaining or listening to the knowledge of God. We are listening to the counsel of God's wisdom, and we are heeding God's reproof. Now, on the flip side, see, these things are so interesting, so linked. On the flip side, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So it is very important that we understand that the fear of the Lord is where these things begin, the foundation. Let me tell you what would happen if we do not fear the Lord and try to approach these truths. You don't have the fear of the Lord, and you seek to apply the truths that are in these Proverbs, it will result in catastrophes. Because you are seeking to do things in your own power. See, really, the fear of the Lord is a reliance upon Him to give you understanding for His truths, His character. And that will translate into your life through wisdom and knowledge and understanding and enable you to live in a wise way. As I worked through this week, it was a challenging study, because the book of Proverbs uses this so many times and so many different ways, but it all comes back to the idea that the fear of the Lord is necessary for us to really apply these truths, to live a wise life. And that's why the authors of Proverbs, they use this term, the fear of the Lord. Because they wanted us as the readers to not just approach these things as some nice wise sayings that are out there. No, these sayings are necessary for us to live a wise life, and they're necessary for us to understand them in light of our fearing the Lord. These truths are for people that fear God. And that really should be the first question that you and I ask as we approach this study. What is my posture before God? Am I honoring Him? Am I fearing Him? Am I respecting Him by my life, by the way I live? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's continue down. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to start at verse 1 so we have a context. This is Solomon speaking, and he's speaking to his son. And in verse 1, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." Notice the verbs here. "Wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand" what? "The fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." I trust that helps us understand this. Did you catch all of those verbs? All of the things that he's instructing his son? Son, listen. Receive my words. And these proverbs are set up in such a way that the first phrase is more completely defined by the second phrase. In other words, he says the same thing twice, just in a different way. Receive my words, hide my commandments. So if one doesn't make sense to you, look at the other one. Internalize God's word. Okay? Verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Give your ear to hearing what is right, to hearing wisdom. In other words, don't walk around with earmuffs on. No. Tune in to the wisdom that God has for you. Yea, verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Why, this shows an intense desire. I want knowledge. Knowledge, come to me. It's this intense desire to want to know the knowledge of God. Verse 4, if you seek for her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures. He's talking about riches here, treasures. And these treasures is the words of God. Search for them, dear ones. Look for them. Look for them as if you were looking for a treasure chest. If someone came and gave you a map, and on the map you saw your house, and in the backyard there was a big star and said, treasure buried here. How intensely would you search? Would you not dig up your entire yard to find the treasure? That's the idea. You seek intently as if looking for a treasure. Then, verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So here what we have is an explanation of how we can understand what this fear of the Lord really is. The fear of the Lord is exemplified in my life and in your life by our intensity, our desire, our hunger to understand and internalize God's word and his commands. We understand the fear of the Lord by the way we tune our ears. Do we listen to God's wisdom, to his truth, or do we turn away? By these very acts, what we are showing is a reverential fear and respect for God and what he has to say. The fear of the Lord. I trust that you can look at your life. I look at my life. Are these a part of my life? Do I chase after these things? The fear of the Lord is also defined here in verse 5 as finding the knowledge of God. Finding the knowledge of God. Getting to know who God is. And dear ones, you know, we call ourselves Christians and we go to church, and we seek to be faithful to the Lord. But these books, this book of Proverbs, is for us. But for us to rightly understand them and to rightly apply them, This needs to be our heart attitude. A heart attitude of an intense desire to hear and know God's commands. I think about my own children and I ask, you know, Lord, help me to know how to encourage my children to develop a desire for the things of God. Those of us here, adults, our prayer should be, God, give me a desire, an intense desire and passion for the things of God. This is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that is what? The beginning of knowledge. And God has given us, I believe, this book of Proverbs because He knew that we would need His wisdom. What happened in the Garden of Eden? The serpent said to Eve, "You shall not die. You shall be like God, knowing good and evil. You shall be wise in your own way," is what he was saying. And so since sin has entered into the world, mankind has been cursed. And a part of that curse is that you and I have been told the lie that our wisdom is enough. That everything that we know is satisfactory. The fear of the Lord is not necessary. The Proverbs tells us that is not true. And time and time and time again, Proverbs refers to us as sin-cursed people that do not heed to God's commands. He refers to us as fools. See, God has given us His wisdom. He's provided it to us. But God wants us to know one thing. These things are best understood and best applied in our lives when we have the fear of the Lord in our life. Go to chapter 8 and verse 13. This, once again, is wisdom speaking. And I'll start in verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. I want to stop right there. Did you catch the fear of the Lord is what? Is to hate evil. So now this further defines the fear of the Lord, does it not? So not only now is the fear of the Lord, it's reverential awe and respect for God and something that is crucial for us to understand and rightly apply God's truths, but now it's further defined by what it hates. The fear of the Lord hates evil. It hates the things that are in opposition to Almighty God. What else does it hate? It hates pride. Oh, pride. How many of you wish pride never existed? Yeah, pride and arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth, the evil, slanderous mouth. All of these things doth wisdom hate. And all of this further defines what the fear of the Lord is. In other words, the fear of the Lord, in that presence of the fear of the Lord, evil is hated. So once again, we ask ourselves, do we hate evil? If we do not hate evil as God hates evil, applying these truths will be meaningless, useless. For quite frankly, we will do the opposite of what these words instruct. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Can you begin to see why that's the motto? It just really applies throughout this whole book. Chapter 9, verse 10. Once again, we'll see the fear of the Lord. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Once again, we see this idea that the knowledge of the holy further explains what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is knowing and understanding the holiness of God. We really do not have an adequate way to describe or understand the holiness of God. Because we can say holiness is the total absence from sin. It's a separation from sin. But we have no idea what that means because we have never experienced that. We can say that holiness is God's presence, but we really have not fully experienced that either because we are still sin-tainted people. But yet God asks of us, seek to know me and understand who I am. And you and I, understanding that this holiness, the God's holiness is beyond our comprehension, should drive us to our knees. For his greatness is beyond what we can even fathom. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now that should apply, huh? How many of us desire to live a long life? Yes. We desire to see our children grow and to have grandchildren. No one likes to die, quote unquote, prematurely. And what we see, very practically speaking here, is that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Very practically speaking, as we fear God, we desire his commands, we seek to obey them, and when we walk in obedience to the Lord, our physical life is blessed. Prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. People that live in wickedness, the principle here that is taught, the people that live in wickedness, their days, their years shall be shortened. For God, what? He curses disobedience and he brings blessing to those that are obedient. I want to look at chapter 14, verse 27. We can actually jump to 26. We'll see two different ideas here. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord, it not only prolongeth days, it's referred to as a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Listen, as we apply these truths through the fear of the Lord, we can have confidence that we are walking in the ways of God and walking in obedience to Him. We try and live these things apart from the fear of the Lord, we have no confidence at all. We could go on and on and on. There are several more instances, but we have run out of time. I want to take us back to those three different words, the platform, the posture, and the power. Remember these things. The fear of the Lord is a platform upon which we can stand and rightly view the things in life. As we view our God with reverence, respect, and honor, it enables us to look at life through His eyes. And it gives us a platform, a foundation upon which we can stand and have confidence that we are living according to God's ways. And then do not forget the posture. For the posture of the fear of the Lord is exactly that of worship. As we approach these truths, we owe our all, our reverence to an almighty, holy God. For He has revealed His truth to us, and He has, through His power, given us the ability to live in His truth. With that, we owe Him our worship. And finally, power. The fear of the Lord is a power that causes us to correctly obey God's commands, to do things God's way. We can do things God's way because we respect and honor the Creator of those ways. We honor Him. So listen, as we go through the book of Proverbs, remember the fear of the Lord. Remember to approach these truths, not only just the book of Proverbs, but the whole counsel of the Word of God. Approach it with a reverence, a respect, and a fear for God. Remembering that that is crucial for us as we seek to understand God's truths correctly. Because quite frankly, apart from a fear of the Lord, these truths, they seem meaningless. They seem vain. They seem worthless. Because the fear of the Lord is what gives these truths life and power. Because it is God that has designed them, has written them. It comes from His heart. And listen, believer, we owe Him our respect, our worship, our honor. And He'll help us to apply these things. I trust that will help you as we go through this study. I know it has helped me greatly to put in the proper perspective the fear of the Lord.